Sports Radio 94 WIB. Tom Kelly.
That's starting to grow on me a little bit.
Virgilio, it's catchy,
starting
isn't it?
Starting to grow on me.
I mean, everybody, at first you hear it, you think, oh, this is cheesy. But then you start to like it a little bit.
Yeah,
it's
we're
got
a
good
cheesy.
Ring to it.
We're a little cheesy. That's,
it's growing on me.
Yeah, it's nice.
There you go. Well, appreciate it, Kyle. We are broadcasting live from the NovaCare Complex. 94 WIP's Champ Camp, driven by Forest River RV by Camping World. RV sales, service parts, and accessories. Eagles wrapping up practice. This segment will be joined by Jordan Mailata and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Interested to talk to those guys, Hugh. And interested to talk to Jordan about what he had to say yesterday. About, you know, last year's behind them, looking forward, going into this year, and it really being kind of a different team. And again, we mentioned it earlier, but I think refreshing to hear guys talk so much about that and putting last year behind them and really looking toward next year. Because I feel like, and I know it's a lot of different players from 2017, but in 2017, the whole training camp in 2018 felt kind of like an extension of the celebration. I'm glad these guys are looking at it differently than that team looked at it back then.
They're taking the lead at their quarterback, if you will. I mean, Jalen would probably be considered the more extreme person, you know, because a lot of people, I heard him talking, shout out to the afternoon show, they were talking about how he hadn't put his ring on and how people felt about that and talking about enjoy the moment and anything like that. I looked at it differently, and I think they are too, because think about it like this, Tom. I play with some hell of a players. But we didn't break through for whatever reason. You know, a lot of times it was because we didn't have the receiver core or we didn't have certain things that allowed us to get over the top. And, you know, things happen. Not ashamed of that. It is what it is. It happened the way it happened. But when you talk about what Howie has been able to put together, man, and I think the key component is that all of these guys are in their prime. They're in their sweet spot. And they know that. And they're trying to capitalize on that. They're chasing greatness. That's the only way that I can describe it. Just sitting here and looking out the window and thinking about some of the things that Jalen has said and the way that he carries himself and what's being said about him. Yeah, that feels like that's what they're doing. They're chasing greatness.
Yeah, and moving to another year. And, you know, obviously a lot of things to monitor this year. And what we've been talking about today, do you think the Eagles need to change offensively? Do you think they need to evolve offensively, be more of a passing team this year? I do. Hugh doesn't necessarily feel that way. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. In a few minutes, we'll be joined by a few Eagles players. But first, let's go back to the phones. Go to Jack in Wilmington. What's up, Jack?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, man?
I just want to talk about, I mean, I think this whole Lizardo thing is being overplayed a little bit. I think we need to give him the respect that we saw the way he could pitch early in the season and give him a moment to fix this. And when we're talking about a fourth starter in the playoffs, you know, we have no idea what Nola is going to be. And to put our faith in him without seeing, like, what he can do when he comes back, like, we get four, you know, no-hit innings out of Lizardo, and then we move to the bullpen when we see, you know, any sign of sort of, you know, struggles in him. I mean, you can't ask for more than that.
Hasn't he been struggling the last couple of outings he's had?
Well, yeah, but I mean, we still got a couple months before the playoffs.
Yeah, let me ask you this question. Let me ask you a question.
Just right now.
Let's workshop this a little bit. Out of the sampling size that we have of both pitchers, who do you feel gives you the best chance of having success out of what you know about both of these pitchers, Nola and Luzardo?
I'd take Luzardo right now. I mean, Nola could come back.
First of all, I didn't say it in a way that you understood it. I said in the sampling size that we've seen from both pitchers, because Nola's been here longer, correct?
Nola's been here.
I mean, wait a minute. Listen, I'm not trying to paint you in a corner. These are yes or no questions that I'm asking you, right? So I understand you might not feel the way that I feel, but I'm asking you yes or no questions. So again, I'll ask you, out of the two pitchers, we have a better knowledge of what Nola brings to the table than we do Lizardo in the playoffs, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I'll ask you again.
That's true, but the, you know, as a manager, Rob Thompson is looking at
Well, this is the thing, Jack.
What no one's done in the past.
Jack, I appreciate the call, but this is the thing with Lizardo. This is not like this is a one-start overreaction. I mean, this has been over the course of the last 2 months.
Not only that, though.
More bad starts than good starts.
We are trying to figure out the pieces that we're going to need to make a World Series push, right? And as of right now, okay, take Bryce for example. We all had a feeling that, Bryce Harper at some point was going to be what he is now or look like he's going to round into shape, right?
Right, because we have a track record to indicate that's going to happen eventually.
Just like I was trying to get him to understand with Aaron Nola. So if I'm a manager and if I that's the only thing that I have to go off of and I'm trying to win a World Series out of two guys that one that I've known for a while, right, and one that I'm getting to know in a time where we're at the we're past the halfway mark of the season, and you are showing me from your last couple of outings that you are trending in the wrong direction, right? But I know that with Nola, when he's out there, he might be a little rocky, but he settles down and he gets the job done. What do you think I'm going to do?
Right.
If I'm shaking the dice, what do you think I'm going to do?
You want the known over the unknown, typically.
That's all I'm saying, bro.
And like I'll just say this. Like if I'm in the Philly shoes or I'm imagining what they're thinking, I would imagine their preference is for Aaron Nola to come back and pitch well so he can be the game four starter over Lizardo, because like you said, they have a track record with Aaron Nola. They know what they're getting from him. And with Lizardo, I mean, this is not a small sample size now. Like after his first couple starts where he really struggled, I don't know. I was kind of the mindset of let's give him a little time. Let's let him get it together. This is now a good 2 month run here where it's been more negative than positive.
That's the point. And you're in a situation now where you're trying to figure out rosters and you're trying to figure out how people are going to fit into what you're trying to accomplish. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, absolutely. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But Eagles practice has wrapped up for the day. They are done practicing, second day in the books. And now, coming into the trailer, we will be joined in a moment here by Jeremiah Trotter Jr., Eagles linebacker, joining us now. Tom Kelly, Hugh Douglas, as Jeremiah sits in and joins us now. Jeremiah, thanks for joining us, man. How was day two of practice today?
Yeah, it was great. You know, and again, thank you for having me. But it was great. You know, getting out there, competing, going back and forth with the offense. You know, just decided to get back in the film room today, see what today's work looked like, correct the mistakes, and get better tomorrow.
Yeah, and very, very good start training camp, Jeremiah. And I want to know from you, because obviously you have a role that could be a little different this year. Have you prepared any differently, knowing that your role might be bigger in this defense?
No, I feel like I try to prepare the same way I did last year. Try to get in a routine. Even though, you know, my role was on special teams, helping out the team that way. You know, I took that to heart and tried to be the best special teams player I could be. And if my name was called, you know, making sure I was on my stuff to step in there and help the team. And I just tried to prepare the same way I did last year and just put in the work every single day, try to get better.
So how was your offseason, Trot, knowing that you have an opportunity to step in and make your mark? I mean, how did you prepare for this upcoming season?
I just took the same way I took my offseason last year, which was, you know, putting in work every day, taking it a day at a time in the weight room and on the field when I'm getting field work in. I try to just have the same mindset, you know, not make it bigger than what it is, and just try to prepare the same way that I would prepare, you know, like last year.
So my question to you is this. How much – because this is how I envision it, because, you know, I play with your pops, mm-hmm. and I know how intense he is. So – when you come home from practice, I'm assuming that, you know, you talk to him a lot. How much do you lean on him for information and knowledge about the position and being here in Philadelphia and stuff like that? How much do you lean on him for that?
Yeah, I still try to – he's taught me so much up to this point, but I still try to – after practice, I'll go over, you know, see what – go over the practice film. I may send him a video or something, mm-hmm. to see what he thinks, you know, how I should have played it or how I could have played it, trying to get different input like that. I mean, I feel like I would be – it'd be wrong of me not to use somebody that has 12 years of knowledge in the NFL, and I have him right at a phone call away to be able to, you know, use his insight and his knowledge that he's gained.
And Jeremiah, it's really an awesome story. I mean, I grew up watching your dad play linebacker for the Eagles. How cool is it that you get to play for the same organization, wear the same number? I mean, kind of a dream come true for you?
Yeah, man, it's really cool how it worked out. I thank God every single day for the opportunity to, one, be in the NFL, and then, two, be able to just play for the team my dad did. And I've been an Eagles fan my whole life. I didn't have to change my favorite team once I got drafted, so it's been great.
Yeah, and another guy you're obviously learning from is your defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio. We mm-hmm. heard him talk this morning. Seems like a really interesting guy, Jeremiah. What's it like playing for Vic Fangio?
Man, it's really cool because, I mean, he has so much knowledge of the game. He's seen the game change over the years because different eras of football. So he's learned how to scheme up offenses, and I just know, like, he gives us different tips of how we can see certain plays coming. And I think that really helps the defense, and the defense guys play fast.
So my question to you is this: how was it that you guys were able to pick up his defense as fast as you were and implement what he taught you on the field as quickly? Because, man, I tell you, playing in the when we first got here, playing at Jim Johnson defense, it took us at least a year before we got to the point where we were comfortable in the defense. Why was it so easy for you guys to pick up this defense and thrive the way that you just did?
Yeah, I feel like it was just reps. You know, we tried to get as many reps at just the fundamental coverages in our call.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get too complicated in the beginning. We took a day at a time just trying to learn, you know. And even at first, you know, it was tough to learn. You know, there's a lot of ins and outs, different zone drops, different coverages that we run in Rick's scheme. But we really just tried to get a bunch of reps at it. Guys would, you know, practice on the field and then go home. We'd be going over plays, getting that extra work in the film room mentally. And, you know, over time, if you keep putting it in day in and day out, you know, you're going to be able to learn the scheme. You're going to get better at it.
Yeah, Jeremiah, one of the things that I think is cool about this defense is it's generally a younger defense. Like, you guys have a lot of younger players at all the different levels, up front, in the middle, and certainly in the secondary. Cooper, Quinyon, all those guys. Quinyon was talking about it yesterday, all the youth on that defense. How kind of advantageous is it to have a bunch of guys kind of around the same age from a bonding perspective on that side of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, you obviously got that connection when you got guys around the same age. We got, you know, some older guys, too, that we can talk to and we connect with as well. But I think, you know, when you got young guys, you got guys that are hungry, guys that want to go out there and just run around, play football, play the game that they love. But, you know, I feel like the whole defense as a whole, we all really mesh together as a team. We got a lot of team chemistry, and everybody out there, you know, wants to do their part and be the best they can for the guy next to them.
And one of the older players on the defense, who obviously had a great year last year, Zach Bond, guy you mm-hmm. play next to. What have you learned from Zach Bond in your time with him?
I'd probably say, like, the type of routine that he has. He's a veteran now. He's been, you know, had the same routine, you know, that he's had all the way up to now, and he does it week in and week out, day in and day out. And, you know, I just try to learn from him getting a routine. So I feel like if you get a routine and you stick to it, that's how you build consistency, and that's really big in this game, you know, being consistent, a consistent player.
Yeah, and as a linebacker, too, you know, obviously the guys up front help you a lot. What's it like playing behind number 98 up front?
Yeah, you know, it's great playing against, you know, playing behind JC. I mean, he's a great, talented guy. You know, I love playing against all the guys, JD, Mo. They all, you know, really hold those double teams for me, allow me to fly around and make plays, me and Zach. So I love my big guys up front.
Yeah, well, that's awesome.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, man, I know you probably don't remember this picture, but I just wanted to say that I'm very proud of you, and you know, you're part of the family, and we love you.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah. Love you, too.
Well, that's awesome. Jeremiah Trotter, Jr. Jeremiah, thanks a lot for hopping on, man. Best of luck this year.
Thank you.
Yeah, awesome stuff. Jeremiah Trotter, Jr., joining us for a few minutes. And, yeah, I mean, great stuff. I mean, Hugh, you played with his dad for a long time. I grew up watching those teams. And just an awesome story to see Jeremiah, you know, here and thriving the way that he is. And winning the Super Bowl ring. I mean, I should have asked him. Got to rub that in dad's face a little bit.
Well, yeah. I mean, but I think what Jeremiah Trotter Jr. has done, I mean, it's one of those things that I know his dad's proud of him, because we're all proud of him. Because, you know, we were a part of the foundation that was laid down to put him in a position to have that kind of success. And I know for Trot, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn to see his son be a part of the legacy that he started. He has to be a proud dad for that. That's phenomenal. It really, really is.
Well, it's a really cool story. And it's cool how, like, you know, you and Ike and Trot, like, you guys have have kind of stuck together and stayed close over the years. And it really does speak to this organization because they do prioritize family and they talk about, you know, that element of it. And I think with a guy like Jeremiah, you can really see it, especially like, I mean, think back to that draft night when he was drafted, how genuinely emotional Jeffrey Lurie was to talk to him that night.
Man, listen, I tell you, the picture that I showed him was of me, my son, him, his brother, and Ike's kids. And you know, that's how close we are, you know? So,
Yeah. No, and it's awesome. And that familial element of it is a really cool thing for this organization. It's just it's an awesome story to see Jeremiah, you know, kind of following in his dad's footsteps the way that he is. And I think a guy who is going to be a real difference maker for this team this year. And obviously, kind of unfortunate the way the opportunity's coming about. You never want to see guys go down.
Yeah.
Nakobe Dean was such a good player for this team last year and a hard worker in his own right. But this is where, you know, having a guy like a Jeremiah Trotter Jr. sitting behind him, he'll get that opportunity this season. I'm excited to see what he does.
Yeah, can't wait to see what he does with it.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome to see. And, you know, just you can tell a really good kid and a guy that every Eagles fan is rooting for, no question about it. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. We'll have Jordan Mailata coming up in a few minutes here. But first, let's go back to the phones. Go to Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Terrence.
You, TK, Kyle, what's up, man?
What's up, Terrence? On,
man? Hey, you didn't get no picture of no lock lizards or nothing today, man? No dimes?
Lock lizards? What are those?
Move on, Terrence.
I don't drive a pickup truck. I do drive a pickup truck. I don't drive a semi.
All right. what do you got, Terrence?
I was referring to the ugly wife, but you get me. You get me, though, man. I'm going to say right now, for Lizardo, this guy, to me, him and Nola are probably like the same player right now. So either one of those guys, you might as well bring Nola back because you're probably going to be getting the same thing anyway. I'm a TK on this. I feel like Nola hasn't been pitching the best. He hasn't been pitching the best when he was in there before he got hurt. And I feel like that injury they were talking about was kind of a way to get him to get his head back in the game. Like they say he got hurt. But we don't know about that, man.
Well, Terrence, no, I can. He was legitimately hurt with the ankle. Now it's the question of when it happened. Now they say it happened in Cleveland, and I believe that to be the case. Or in Tampa originally, and he made his start in Cleveland, and I believe that to be the case. And that's the thing. Like, if that is the case, there was still a good month of baseball before that where he was not pitching well.
Yeah, man. And as for the Eagles, I feel like I told Kyle we're gonna throw more. We're gonna put the ball in Jalen's hands more. But I feel like Jalen is gonna still keep the main thing like he always does. I still believe Saquon is gonna get off some big. I believe we're gonna throw the ball more, but I believe Saquon is gonna still get off some big long runs. And coming off the RPO, and we all know Jalen Hurts brings that dual threat to the offense. I feel like they're gonna put more in his hands. I feel like Jalen might run more. I feel like he's gonna throw more. You're going to have a lot more one-on-one coverage with Devontae and AJ on the outside. So I feel like that's going to be huge come this season. And we know Petullo likes to throw the ball. Am I right?
Well, yeah. And, well, Terrence, and that's the thing, man, and I appreciate the call. I just think there are going to be more opportunities to throw the ball because, you know, defenses, I just have a hard time believing that defenses are not going to key more on Saquon. I think that'll leave you more opportunities. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But talking a lot about the Eagles today and whether they need to throw the ball or pass the ball more. And again, I just look at, you know, the way defenses are going to attack the Eagles offense, the way they're going to defend, I think they're going to key on the run more, and I think that's going to give them more opportunities to attack on the outside with AJ and Devontae. And I mean, those guys could be in for a huge year, Hugh.
Yeah, there's a possibility for that, because I think that, especially with the success that the Eagles had running the football, a lot of teams are going to try to gear up to stop the run. But if they don't have the personnel, they'll be liable against the pass. But there has to be that threat. It always has to be that threat. I remember going into the game, man, and coach said, hey, take away the run first, and then you get after the quarterback. But you got to take away the run. You have to make it so that they can't run the ball at all. And then that kind of plays into what you want to do. But you got to be strategic in the way that you do that. Because if a team loads the box on you, then you have to be able to throw the ball and throw it with some success. And it, once they start to back off, then that's when you start to bring the running game back into it. But yep. It's going to be your identity right now. People are going to probably try to line up and stop you from running the ball.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that is going to be the case. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Rob in Delco. What's up, Rob? Let's throw Rob back on hold there. Jordan Mailata will be joining us in a moment. And excited to talk to Jordan, Hugh. Obviously a guy who always has a lot of interesting things to say.
He has
a lot of
potty mouth.
Things to say yesterday. And, yeah, I mean, you got to like that, though, Hugh.
Jordan
wears his emotions on his sleeve. You're that Jordan, kind of a
listen,
guy.
Listen, Jordan is my favorite Eagle, but he does have a potty mouth. He's a bad influence on the kids.
He's
one of those guys that he doesn't know how to use eloquent words when he talks. He likes to use curse words when he's on the air, when he's talking to the media. He's just an unkept individual.
An unkept individual.
Yes. Look at him. He's going in our refrigerator, taking our stuff. He didn't ask anybody. You can't take him anywhere.
Hugh has domain over that fridge, Jordan. You got to ask him first before you take anything out of there.
To be fair, I thought we were partners this year. I guess I was wrong.
Oh, no. That's my guy. He's my favorite Eagle, man, because he's unapologetically him.
Jordan Mailata, Eagles left tackle, joining us now. Tom Kelly, Hugh Douglas. This is the Midday Show. Jordan, how was practice today, man?
Oh, mate, it was a good one. Not steamy. I think it was just everything. So the amount of reps, everything just kind of added up, and man, just sweated a bunch.
Yeah,
I just felt so depleted out there, and I thought I did a great job yesterday of hydrating.
Is it hard to kind of work back into it? I mean, you've been off for, what, 5 months here since February? How hard is it to get back in the flow of everything?
There's only so much cardio you can do, man, to be honest. There's nothing like football shape. Uncle will tell you that.
Yeah.
Uncle will tell you that.
I caught it
the
straight.
OG over here.
I'm just saying, football shape, there's nothing like it.
No, it's not.
That's the only way you can get conditioned is just being out here on the paddock and just
the
giving
paddock,
it your all.
That's a new that's one.
You've never heard of the paddock?
No, I have never heard of the paddock.
What about the barn?
The barn?
The barn.
Nah, that's a good one, too. Now, this is the question I have for you, because you guys are laser focused. So you got your rings Friday, right? Friday?
Yeah.
So when did the mindset flip for you?
It flipped probably 2 weeks, maybe less than that after
before
the Super Bowl.
Before you got the ring, it flipped.
Yep.
I'm curious because I've never experienced that. Right, those rings are insanely huge and they're beautiful, and to have that and then. Like, get that on a Friday and go to camp Wednesday. You telling me you were already in the mindset that you were getting ready for the next season.
OTAs, we all came back week one OTAs, and we had the same mission, the same mm-hmm. mindset. That's where that mentality comes from. And then we drill it every week in OTAs, and then you believe it.
So this is what I think from my assessment. I heard you speak yesterday. And
did you read
I,
the subtitles?
I did not. No, I
It's like
a couple things
you
that
did,
you said.
You definitely read the subtitles.
Let me tell you, a couple things that you said they had to bleep out because you were the potty. You was the potty mouth.
Sorry,
you did
I was,
the potty mouth. But it's okay. You're being you. But my question to you is, when Jalen said what he did, he didn't put the ring on, are you guys chasing greatness? Like, do you realize that when you look at your team and the way that it's been put together, all of you guys are in your prime. Like, when you look at all the stars that you have, the offensive line and everybody – you guys are in your prime. And, you know, I know you don't like to use the R word or anything like that.
What's the R word?
You said you told everybody yesterday not to use the word. So I'm not going to use it. But so the word that I'm going to use
that's right.
is chasing greatness.
Yeah. That is a mentality that I always had because of Lane Johnson. And mm-hmm. it just carries on over. That's the culture. That's how you see it. That's just, I guess, that's a great way of putting it. Yes, we are chasing greatness.
Yeah, because you didn't want to. You told everybody yesterday not
always.
To use the R word.
Always.
Or you can't say back to back either. Can't say back to back.
Yeah, that's for like fans.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Fans and ex players, you know, like
Caught him on the straight. Well, and my mic just went dead. I did something. My mic just went
dead. George, to follow up on that a little bit here. Obviously, you're a guy. You've been around a little bit of time now. But how important is it to get that message across to some of the younger guys in the league who haven't, you know, been around as much to kind of have that mindset? Is every year is, you know, unto itself?
I'll be honest, I couldn't hear anything about the question because all I could hear was Uncle saying, "My mic's cut out. I can't. Can you guys hear me?"
My bag, because I lost my headphones. But I mean, since y'all can hear me, it don't make no difference.
But it's easy. It's easy because I had that locker room coming in with Jason Kelce, BG, Fletcher Cox, shoot, even go down the list from 2018. We can go back to even when Carson was here, you know?
Yep.
So, like, those guys had that same mentality of chasing greatness. And for me, it was easy.
You can keep that, by the way. You can use that.
I'll be honest. I was using it way before you.
Okay.
We can roll the tape back, baby.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah,
chasing greatness, because that's what I call Lane. When people say that I'm the greatest tackle in the league, I say, nah, you can't tell me that. Because the greatest tackle.
You're all right.
Exactly. I'm all right. Because the greatest tackle in the league is Lane Johnson. And until I can be better than Lane Johnson, then I'll be the greatest tackle in the league.
Y'all both pretty formidable.
Yeah, but I'm not the greatest tackle in the league. It's Lane Johnson, and I call that chasing greatness.
I think we can agree that you're both great.
I'm right. He has no idea how hard Lane works and sacrifices for this team.
There you go. But, Jordan, one of the other things I wanted to ask you about, there's that epic mic'd up moment during the Super Bowl where you get Jalen in his face after he throws a touchdown to Devontae.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jalen's talked about all the time. There's this list. There's that list. Does it bother you the way Jalen gets talked about in the media sometimes?
It does, but then it doesn't, because I'm just like, they don't know. They're not here. Couldn't give a damn. But it does. It does bother me the way people can just say that comfortably.
Yeah.
Yeah. How can people just say that so, like, oh, like, hi.
Yeah.
So easy.
Yeah.
And at that point, you're just like, well, nothing I could do. They're not here. They're not in this building. We don't care. Keep it pushing.
And you know what the worst part about that is? I hear a lot of people that say they used to play the game and know how hard it is to play that position. Mm. I mean, everybody's entitled to an opinion. That's the way I feel about it.
You can name names if you want. I feel like that's what you're trying to do.
No, I'm not. But it's one of those things where it's like, I respect everybody's opinion. It doesn't have to jive with mine. But when you hear it, it's always interesting when you look at, like, pundits that used to be, you know, my contemporaries that do it, and you're like, People tend to forget when they crack the mic. They tend to forget certain things. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But it does bother us. I'll say us, but that's the beauty of the way it starts head down. It's team focused. It's block all the noise, block all the white noise. And as monotonous as it gets, because it gets monotonous, it just becomes routine to keep it pushing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like,
that's a lot of sense.
Absolutely. And another thing I wanted to ask you about, Jordan, just as you're playing last season, I know we're looking at this year, but as an offensive lineman, how fun was it to watch what Saquon Barkley was able to do last year and watch him, you know, just break games open time and time again?
Man, that was truly a special season to be able to witness greatness. And, you know, it's still crazy that Saquon's an Eagle. Still think about it. Even this year, rolling up to OTAs, it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's on our team.
It's pretty nice seeing him
out there, isn't it? And, man, I was incredibly lucky to be a part of, you know, some greatness like that and be a part of history, too. So just incredibly thankful he's on our team.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
He makes our lives easier, for sure.
Definitely. And one more here for you, Jordan. But you talked about Lane Johnson and how influential he has been for you. Jeff Stoutland's become kind of like a cult-like figure here in Philadelphia as far as this guy's reputation and what he's been able to do. Just how much has Jeff Stoutland meant to you, and how much does he mean to this organization?
It's hard to put it in words. Man, he I love Stouty, man. I see him like my dad. You know, my dad's not here. He's in Australia, and every time when I was a young pup, I would just see the similarities, and so over time he just became like a father figure to me, and I love and respect that man so much, like he is my father.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's an awesome story, man. I mean, you coming over and not having all that kind of football experience. And, I mean, Jeff Stoutland, he's been here over a decade now. Yeah. Incredible stuff. So, but
he means a lot to these people. There is a cult out there. There is a cult out there.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I've heard it.
Everybody loves Jeff Stoutland. But Jordan Mailata, giving us a few minutes after practice. Thanks for coming on, man. Thanks for tolerating Hugh. We appreciate it.
Hugh's my favorite person. Oh, there we go. I finally gave up the answer. Shoot.
Love you too, man.
Oh, love you too, Uncle.
Well, there you go. Jordan Mailata joining us for a few minutes. Thank you to Jordan. We'll come back and obviously talk about practice, talk about everything going on. Elliot Shore Parks will join us in the 12 o'clock hour as well. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.